If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Well, I think it's straightforward in terms of the qualifications you look for, which is someone who is an expert of the law, someone who has a record of fairness and judgment that you think is consistent with the law. I prefer choosing those folks who are, if you will, strict constructionists, meaning that they look at the law itself and the Constitution, as opposed to sort of looking into the sky and pulling out ideas that they think may be more appropriate than either the law or the Constitution. So I recognize that we may have a court which has more of a conservative bent than it's had over the last few decades, but my liberal friends have over many decades gotten very used to the idea of having a liberal court.
There you go. That's Mitt Romney. Well, well, well. Oh, I'm made of thoughts. Hi, guys. It's good to be with you. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Tuesday.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
God bless technology. That's my favorite one so far. Anything that sounds like Bob Barker could come out with a tiny, weensy little microphone at any second, I'm all for. And how he held it like a flute, my favorite. Welcome to the show. All right, so Mitt Romney, ladies and gents, Stop it. I actually had like 1,000 of you email me this morning and comment on Facebook, and they were and tweeting about, like, not like a totally 1,000, but a lot of you. Enough. Oh, he bent the knee. Wait a second. Just hold up. Now, I was looking at his statement, and I wanted to just really quickly go over his statement, because I said in the newsletter, if you subscribe to that at danalash.com, I had said in the newsletter that Mitt Romney loves the fact that no one knew what he thought about this up until today. He was finally pressured. But he loved the attention that his silence has courted. He's loved it. And so he came out with a statement today, very carefully parsed, ladies and gentlemen. He writes, "My decision regarding," and he doesn't talk like this, but I am for him. "My decision regarding a Supreme Court nomination is not the result of a subjective test of fairness, which, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder." This is literally his statement. "It is based on the immutable fairness of following the law, in this case is the Constitution and precedent. The historical precedent of election year nominations is that the Senate generally does not confirm an opposing party's nominee, but does confirm a nominee of its own. The Constitution gives the president the power to nominate and the Senate the authority to provide advice and consent on Supreme Court nominees. Accordingly, I intend to follow the Constitution and precedent in considering the president's nominee. If the nominee reaches the Senate floor, I intend to vote based upon their qualifications. Senator Romney."
So he's like,
he's just going, "Yeah, I'm going to do my job. Here's my statement. Doing my job." That's really what that is. In his mind, it sounded like what I just said. In reality, it's like, "I'm doing my job. Here it is. Here's my statement." And then afterwards, Romney went back to the barn and pet some rabbits. I'm kidding. That's kind of a deep one. Deep dive. I just think it's funny that we're issuing statements for, well, guess what I'm going to do? It's quite different from what we've done in the past. I'm following the Constitution. What would I do? That's what we send you there to do. You know what I mean? So I get it. Now, for those of you who don't read sarcasm on Twitter, note pretty much everything I say is almost meant in a jerky way. Just everything that comes out of my mouth. So when I was talking about this earlier today, and some people were like, don't give him too much credit. Oh my gosh. First off, for you to understand my attitude on the Romney thing, you need to understand my past with Romney. This man loathes me. His entire campaign loathes me. When I worked at CNN in 2012, they complained every time I was on air because I was super critical of him. Even when he was the actual nominee, I was still critical of him. And other Republicans loathed me for it because I just could not reconcile. Here we were. We were legit in an election that was a judgment on Obamacare, and the nominee was the guy who invented it and pushed it through Massachusetts. And I kept bringing this up, and his campaign was fit to be tied every time I was on television. How do I know this? Well, because when you are like when you're basically one of the contributors or whatever at a network, you have a contributor wrangler. And there's someone who is basically the go-between for corporate and contributors. And there was very much some consternation and phone calls from the Romney campaign. They wanted me to be on with a Romney surrogate every time I was on television. So I guess you could say that he tried to cancel me back in 2012, before cancel culture really popped off. So I have some baggage. I have a legitimate beef, you could say. So I have never been on the Romney train, ever. So stating that, you kind of have an idea as to how I'm very critical. But I'm justifiably critical. I'll give credit where it's due. I'll give credit where it's due. I tweeted this morning. I said that I'm not sure absence of qualification would hold back any of the SCOTUS frontrunners, but I'm glad to see Romney follow the Constitution, not feeling on the process. And for some reason, people thought I was not being a smart aleck. But it is what it is. But he came out with a statement. So he's going to do his job. Again, I don't know what qualification a nominee could lack. Well, we found out that they're an axe murderer. Guess I'm not. Yeah, that would probably disqualify someone, I would think, right? Yeah, I think so. So I'm just, he's in between a rock and a hard place. I get the sense that it was begrudging. Because this was where either Romney follows principle or he follows Constitution. How principled are you? Because we've seen the measure of principle apparently extends. It depends upon whether or not you like the person in office. We've seen that with some Republicans. They're Republicans, and any other time of the decade, they're like, yes, totally pro-gun and pro-life and woo, reduce regulation. And then Trump does things where he's reducing regulation, and I've explained some of the Second Amendment stuff. He's against red flags, and I was talking about the bump stock thing last week. And he's done a lot to reduce taxpayer monies. I think Congress needs to do the rest of it towards Planned Parenthood. He's done a lot of good things. It's been what the most conservative agenda of any Republican president I know. But then because he's not the right type of Republican. Oh, my gosh. He says on Twitter what you guys all talk about in your little cocktail parties. Ooh, I forgot. We're supposed to pretend you're virtuous, not just like have it. Okay. So I just, I was curious as to whether or not he was going to follow, if he's going to actually follow feeling or follow the Constitution. It kind of remains to be seen. Now, that being said, so Lindsey Graham, I wrote this in the newsletter last night. Lindsey Graham 2.0, Sassy Graham's coming back, y'all. Sassy Graham's on the way back. Now, I went through some of the Senate races that I'm watching, and we're going to talk more about this, because Democrats, they've said they're going to go all in to subvert the Constitution and do all of this stuff, because where it is right now, Mitch McConnell has 51 votes. He's got 51 votes. And they have the votes to do it. I know there's a lot of discussion as to whether or not they should even have a hearing. I go back and forth. I like the idea of showing Democrats how nuts they are, because remember, that really put us over the top. It was the Kavanaugh effect last election. And I really want to see them accuse a female nominee of raping someone. So I just, I want to see this. I want the Democrats, who are trying to so hard with candidate Joe Biden, ingratiate themselves with suburban women. You suburban ladies, we love you. You're so amazing. And Joe Biden's trying to pretend he's Catholic again. And so he's really trying to go out there. And remember, wasn't he turned away from receiving communion at one church? Yeah. And then everybody got mad at that priest for refusing him communion, because apparently all these people are holier than that dude and no more, I guess, even though he's like, he literally wears the uniform every day, but okay. So he's pretending to be Catholic again. So can you imagine if it's Amy Coney Barrett? Here's this woman has 7 kids. She lives in the suburbs. That makes her a suburban mom. And she's a Catholic. Oh, please, can I have this narrative? I just want to watch that unfold. Yes, we love suburban women, except this one. She's a harlot and rapes people at parties. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, isn't that what they're going to have to change up? If it's a woman, which I was asking this question yesterday, why does it have to be a chick? I want it to be the most qualified person. However, for the sole fact of watching them trying to figure out, like a toddler with a shape sorter, watching them try to figure out how to go at a female nominee is particularly amusing. So that's the only reason that I would have interest in that. So they have the 51 votes. They have the 51 votes. So we're going to see where this goes. Also, Nancy Pelosi says in an interview, she was proud of every Senate Democrat that voted to block the coronavirus relief bill. I'm sure that's going to go over well for them. You have this coupled with them stalling out another nominee if they do have hearings. You don't have to have a hearing for a Supreme Court nominee. The Constitution, in fact, I was looking at the Senate's website last night. It doesn't mandate it, so you don't have to have it per se. But I still think that it would be short-sighted of Republicans to deny the American people the spectacle of Democrats fashioning for themselves rhetorically a noose. And with all of their demagoguery and smear tactics and false accusations, why would you, I mean, for crying out loud, it's like one of my grandma's soap operas on steroids times 50. It's to watch this, it's crazy. Why would you deny the American people that spectacle? I mean, come on, it's America. So I don't know. I mean, I know that there's, like I said, there's some back and forth about that. I'm not all the way on board with it, of not having it. So coming up, some of the other things that we're going to hit. I really was fascinated with this piece that I read in, I think this was the Washington Post. The left can't meme its way to a Ruth Bader Ginsburg replacement. The Washington Post had a piece that said RBG and the empty triumph of liberal pop culture. I actually thought that was a rare admission of just a rare bit of honesty. They actually looked at themselves and said, we're stupid. Remember how we made her like the notorious RBG and we made her memorific and we try to elevate her to Betty White status? Because, you know, that's the cool thing to do with old people right now is to turn them into like these bits of American iconography. Well, it didn't really work for you, did it? Because, yeah, it looks like Trump's going to get his replacement. So we're going to discuss that because that was actually quite good. And it talks about the limitations of pop culture with regards to actual action. So we have that on the way for you. We're going to talk to Judge Jeanine Pirro. Banner era right now for media. Ooh, boy, I got some really good stuff for that for you. And then we're also going to get into the candidates. We're going to take a look at two of the candidates that are considered front runners, Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa. I've done some legwork so you didn't have to, so you don't want to miss today's show. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so let me pull up some of these headlines here because I was actually looking at something else. Reuters reported last night, and this is interesting, Iran's foreign minister says Tehran's ready to exchange all prisoners with the United States. Oh, where's Ben Rhodes? Because he said this was never going to happen with somebody like POTUS, with President Trump. That's actually pretty significant. Yeah, their foreign minister said that, yes, Tehran is ready to exchange the prisoners with the U.S. And then I would add, like, don't kill us all, please. Like, we'll give you whatever you want. Just saying peace through strength. My culture isn't your costume, guys. Just going to say this now. New York Post has the story Gucci is selling denim overalls with a grass stain effect for $1,400. It's part of their derelict chic line, I guess. Gucci, they're selling strategically stained denim overalls for $1,400. It's like for the people who live in New York City who want to look like they're like at one with nature and actually do some sort of like yard work, but they don't. It's like how, like I bought my ruggedness. That's what it is. And they say the denim overall is crafted from organic cotton and specifically treated for a stained like distressed effect. Hey, if you want that, like, for real, come and work in my yard. I'll give it to you for free. It's amazing. My culture isn't your costume. That's kind of what it is, right? Oh, my goodness. A couple of other things here. I was looking at the Texan. $3.7 billion Dallas ISD, Independent School District. Dallas schools, Texas schools are kind of crazy for this stuff. The bond proposal includes funding for an art facility and stadiums as the economy struggles. Maybe we could, I don't know, not, how about we focus on not teaching microaggressions and critical race theory BS to our students before we have a discussion about any other stadiums or anything like that. New York City's murder rate soars by 27%. Gang violence rises to 52% as the Big Apple is rocked by a crime wave. We have a bunch more coming up, including meeting the nominees to SCOTUS. Stick with us.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Joe Biden has refused to list the names of his potential justices because he knows they're too extreme to withstand any form of public review. If Joe Biden and the Democrats take power, they will pack the Supreme Court with far-left radicals who will unilaterally transform American society far beyond recognition.
Well, true. Where is his list? Welcome back to the show. That was POTUS. And he keeps hitting at Biden on this because Biden hasn't. Does he even know? Has someone told him yet?
He said he had a list of African-American women yesterday. We played that audio.
Yeah, I know. But for crying out loud. Hold up. So Trump's like, yeah, we're going to have a woman, which, again, I explained that. I don't understand why we got to have a woman, but I do want to see Democrats try to accuse her of rape like they did Kavanaugh. So Joe Biden cannot, guys, he can't have Trump outdo him. Well, I'm not just going to have a woman. I'm going to have a black woman. And that's how they handle this. Yeah. This is where identity politics gets silly. Why can't it just be someone who's good for the job? Is that beyond the realm of possibility? So where do you go from here? Well, I'm going to have a one-legged black woman. Well, I'm going to have a black woman with one leg and one arm. I mean, where does it go? You see what I mean? Like, they're just going to keep adding, like, identifiers. Or
one
maybe
thing I hesitate to do is follow anything the president does at all, because he usually does it all wrong. We are putting together a list of a group of African-American women who are qualified and have the experience to be in the court.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
He must have binders of African-American women.
Yeah, he's got binders of women, which that makes him, oh, that's okay now to have binders of women.
Is it?
Unless you're Mormon. You're not allowed to do that if you're Mormon. So I checked on, because I was looking on Twitter. I just happened to see, I just opened something because I wanted to see what, you know, what was trending. And I'm like, why is the Mormon trending? Why is more? And I didn't even think, because remember, everybody's supposed to be woke, right? So surely here in 2020, we are not watching the left repeat the mistakes of 2012 and start denigrating people by beliefs, right? Uh-oh. Oh, wait, no, it's so, nope, sorry. So they have been going at Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney, it's all of the Biden's full of, all of the Biden's, it's a verbal typo and I'm teasing it. Binders full of women, all of those people who hated Romney, they're back now. They liked him when they thought they could use him against Trump. But then when he's like, yeah, I am going to go to, you know, blah, 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 I'll support the candidate. Now they hate him again. So now they're just going full on. I mean, these people are predictable. Like this, this is a verified chick, some broad. She's, so it is. Mitt Romney has always been and will always be a member of the Mormon patriarchy. Like, what makes that, what? I mean, it just is going on and on and on and on. So they're mad. They're mad. So they're back on that. By the way, I know I'm not supposed to, I don't have this on the thing. I don't have this at all on my rundown, but I just saw Steve was telling me on break that John Boehner is coming out with a new book. And I just saw the cover for it. And it looks fake, but it's not. It's like if a man wrote a Harlequin book. It's called Who's Oranger? No, I'm kidding. That's not what it's called, which should be a word now. No, it's John Boehner on the House, a Washington memoir. And he is sitting in what I would imagine is Shelley's cigar bar. And he's sitting in a red leather club chair. And he has not a glass of brandy, as that would be more apropos. A Pinot glass? It looks like a cab or a Pinot. Right. And he's sitting there, and I guess it's a cigarette. There's just an ashtray it looks like there's a cigarette in the, not even a cigar. No. He's just a basic Karen. I mean, you're just, I can't say the other word. That's a basic Karen kind of a cover. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been way cooler if he had had like some scotch and then a cigar, right? A Patron cigar or something sitting in there. And he doesn't. He's got like this, probably has like some Kools or something that's just smoking in the ashtray that's totally digitally added. But it looks like it's Shelley's cigar bar, and he's the one who's got the Pinot and the cigarette, where everybody else has got the scotch and the cigar. I'm just saying. So I have to completely make fun of this. It's funny. Who's Oranger? No, sorry. It's on the House. That's what it is. And so... And now everybody likes Boehner because they think that he's going, I guess, because he was kind of at odds with Trump. It's just a weird book cover. This is such a weird book cover. Who does this, right? Isn't it weird? You're looking at it.
I am looking at it.
It's weird.
Super weird. I feel the same way when I look at that painting of Bill Clinton in the dress. It's the same thing. It's the same weird feeling you get.
He doesn't even look like he's comfortable here. I mean, not that I don't doubt that for 1 second that he goes and drinks wine and smokes, but I'm going to be stereotypical, and I'm not begrudging a dude who's drinking a glass of red, but this is a basic Karen move, right? Yeah, I mean, you're John Boehner for crying out loud, right? If you want to look like the John Boehner that you're trying to project, you should be sitting there with some Lafroy Neat,
right.
Just cigar. One drop of water to open that up, and then get you a Patron cigar. If you don't have those things, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I just can't.
Right.
No, I just got to move on that one. Just saying. So, am I being too judgmental?
Which is
not a question I normally ask.
I think that's what people think when they first see it. Like, when they judge the book by the cover, when you're not supposed to do that. But, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, this, a couple of things. I wanted to touch on this one story that I read. Pull this up. That was with the Washington Post. And the headline was RBG and the empty triumph of liberal pop culture. And I thought that this is a very interesting admission, because what they're saying is that meme making and other cultural iconography has its limits. Although, if it's any consolation, Paper Source is still going to have its RBG section. Have you been into a paper? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Don't let me forget about the Paper Source thing, because I can go on. So they are getting into all of the, you know, like how they do the notorious RBG, and they like try to Betty Whiter, and they get into the 2018, there were two films that came out about her. One of them was On the Basis of Sex that starred Felicity Jones, and then there was another one, the documentary RBG, and CNN was playing that as well. And it only like kind of touched on her refusal to retire when Obama was president, so that it would have ensured that there was another progressive in her seat. And so she was like, I mean, she was played by Kate McKinnon on SNL. And I mean, just it gets into all of this stuff. Like, she was lionized in culture, right? And she was made to look like this, you know, she's like a total, like how Betty White is, and how everyone, like, I watched the Golden Girls with my mom when I was a kid, and now like Gen Z discovered Golden Girls and they love them. And it's sort of like they tried to do to RBG what they were doing with Golden Girls and Betty White. That's like a thing. Let's take an old person and make them like super cool, right? That's, you know. And so she became this like progressive icon. And I saw all kinds of people sharing images. These people I never even followed, any single one of her decisions. They probably never read them. But they're like, look, I'm going to share this quote that I'm pretty sure that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, because I saw it on someone else's Instagram account. Now I'm going to crop it and repost it on my Facebook account and my Instagram account, because I'm original and I want everyone to think that I really know what the hell's going on. Yeah, I know. It's psychology. But the thing is it has its limitations. And that's what it took, way more words than it should have, for this Washington Post editorial to conclude, is that here you had all of this stuff. You did all of these things. And then now it looks like you're going to have Trump appoint her replacement. So the meme making and the iconography and all of this, it has its limitations. And I have to give them credit for this, that how they pushed that. This was a really great point that was made by Rabbi Josh Uter on Twitter. He said that, quote, if I'm understanding Twitter correctly, RBG is to be commended for how her Jewishness contributed to her vision of justice, but Amy Coney Barrett is to be mocked for how her Catholicism contributes to her vision of justice. That is a great point. We're already seeing that. But I just thought there was a very interesting point there about RBG and the incessant need to make her this icon like Susan B. Anthony or Alexander Hamilton, the pop culturification. Now, to this point, as I said, the consolation is that you're always going to have a section at Paper Source where you can fulfill that need to see that. Have you ever been into a Paper Source? Have you? So it's like a hipster Hallmark. There was a Hallmark that was near me and it closed like over a year ago. And so if I have to get, there's certain normally I'll order greeting cards if I have to send somebody a birthday card or something. At this point, I would rather make it out of construction paper myself, because I either have to drive across town and I don't like leaving my hobbit hole, or I go into Paper Source. And Paper Source, like right when you walk in, it's like, the mask. Hallmark. They have some, you know, cute stuff there, but they have like this whole section. It's the RBG section. They are clearly progressive. And they want you to know how progressive they are. Like right when you walk in the door, it's almost like Hillary Clinton greets you. Not like, you know, totally, but it's, you know, you can tell that they put all their progressive stuff by the door. And I had to go, and I had to get a baby shower card. And there's a whole section. There's a notorious RBG, like RBG notepads, RBG pins, RBG greeting cards, RBG postcards, RBG socks, RBG hats, and just went over and over and over again. And I'm like, is she getting any of this licensing cash? I'm just curious. But it's like, what's the point of this? Because 99% of the people who are buying this stuff really could not tell you what she actually wrote for a number of decisions in which she gave opinion. It's mass. It's not. It is marketing, but it's branding. This is true reconstructive feminism. Is it? Because now you're celebrating someone who gambled and lost in terms of trying to control the seat. Actually, though, I like it. I still think maybe she changed later in life and became, you know, a silent conservative and decided to screw the progressive matriarchal society. I don't know. It just seems kind of odd. But they're mad. They're going to be mad anyway. I just thought that was a very interesting admission by Washington Post. So coming up, the CDC updated its guidance to warn that coronavirus is airborne. And then they said, no, it's not airborne anymore. Oops. What? It is and then it's not? Science. So we're going to discuss that. We're also going to get into how one judge dismissed a Trump challenge to the Nevada mail voting law. And then there was another one, too. There was another decision we're going to talk. Well, we'll touch on Pennsylvania if we have time today. But I thought the Nevada one was really a messed up ruling because it basically the way that I read it is that you essentially have to see massive statewide fraud and then the hot mess that is the consequence of that after the fact. Before they will accept as proof that any kind of harm was done, which seems ridiculous, but that's like putting in a, like installing a smoke detector after your house burns down. Same difference, right? Anyway, so we got that. We got some press bias, all kinds of stuff.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going back to brunch. We're not going back to brunch. That's not happening.
That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I will tell you, let me speak in Texas for a moment. Come and take it. That's not going to happen.
Brunch is the hill she wants to fight on?
Yeah, that's the hill that you plant your flag on. Brunch. Out of all these things we could fight about, I select brunch.
Right. What is that?
This is why nobody can take this chick seriously. I'm mad because of brunch. It's literally like second breakfast.
If we were to try and analyze brunch in a negative way, what would you say is negative?
Are they trying
brunch?
To be? Is she trying to be like class warfare about it?
I think so.
I don't know because Second breakfast is for everybody. You can call it brunch all you want to. Is second breakfast. Let's be honest.
Right. The only time I'm upset at brunch is when it's, you know, over.
Yeah.
Mimosas give me acid reflux.
What?
So mimosas give me acid reflux. That's probably the only bad thing.
It's mostly the orange juice, though.
That's why you got to have a Bloody Mary, not a mimosa.
That's what I do.
Gosh, mimosas are for beginners at brunch. That's a brunch beginner. See, you get you like a good omelet, get you a quiche, you know, have a little side salad with that. I'm just saying. So, I don't know. I don't understand the brunch haters. I just really don't get it.
I'm doing it this weekend.
I think I was an adult before I actually had a need for brunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Because most, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you're not getting up early enough for actual traditional breakfast. You're getting up about time for brunch.
Well, it's when you have, I discovered the need for brunch when we had kids and then we would go to church and we would get out of church and it was still too early for lunch. And I'm like, we are forced into brunch.
Right.
That's what this is. We're forced into having it. So it's really whatever you want it to be, right? I just think that that's weird that that's her... anyway, so we have the potential nominees for the Supreme Court. We're going to look at a couple of them. And Senator Lindsey Graham tells the Judiciary Committee, the Democrats, that, yeah, my views changed after what y'all did to Kavanaugh. I've got that for you and a bunch more. The lay of the land with the Senate, too. Stick with us.
The Dana Show.
Name one liberal justice nominated by a Democrat that had their life ruined. They're talking about changing the Electoral College. If they keep the House, the Senate, and the White House, this country will change fundamentally. The Electoral College will be obliterated. We'll go to a popular vote. D.C. and Puerto Rico will become states. So it'll be 104 senators. It goes on and on and on. There'll be additional members of the Supreme Court. They'll all be liberal. They're going to take the process, the rules, and change them.
And I don't want D.C. heaven. I don't. Absolutely not. What in the ever-loving world? Welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. I am Dana Lash, second hour of our program. And of course, don't forget, you can find me.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, Official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
It's like Animal Crossing meets like Minecraft in a way. Right? I love it. So that's where you all, and make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Okay, so Lindsey Graham. The left has been going at Senator Graham nonstop because of that soundbite where he's like, you know, and if and we have a vacancy that comes up and, you know, you hold my words against me. And now he's like, yeah, you know what? Y'all changed the rules. You tried to stack the courts for Obama. It's coming back to haunt you. And he's like, I went through the Kavanaugh thing. He says, after the treatment of Justice Kavanaugh, I now have a different view of the judicial confirmation process. So that, you know, he said that before all these Democrats did what they did to Brett Kavanaugh. You think? No one owes you anything after what you did to that dude. No one owes you a damn thing after what you did to Brett Kavanaugh. Gonna sit here and be like, wait a minute now, excuse all of our immoral, egregious, awful, malicious behavior. You better keep to your word. Yeah, it ain't how this works, babies. It ain't how it works. No. I mean, that's, and this is even after Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas. But after what y'all did to Kavanaugh, you don't get to be calling the shots for nothing. You don't get to point your finger and demand that other people meet an agreement that you yourself did not honor. Graham was talking about this before you guys try to ruin a man's life. Heaven on earth. So he, and that was a great response from him. That was a terrific response. So I was pleased with that. But this idea that I don't know. It's they are going to, no matter who is put up, they're going to freak out. And I was looking at the potentials. I was looking at the list here. And I talked a little bit about this, too, in the newsletter last night. Because, and here's, we're going to get to this list, but I also want to make sure that we talk about some of these, how this is going to affect some of the Senate. That's what Democrats are hoping to do. They're hoping to use this as a way to widen the chances to get a Senate majority. And there's some battle fronts to keep an eye on. The one that I am concerned about is Arizona. Now, Martha McSally, here's why Arizona is different. Arizona, Martha McSally is in a seat that was occupied by the late John McCain. And the election is technically it's a special election. And she's going up against Mark Kelly, the husband of Gabby Giffords. He is incredibly well-funded. Martha McSally, the latest polling has Kelly up by 6 points. And because of the nature of the election, he could be confirmed as early as November 30th. And they determine who's going to serve out the remainder of that term going into 2023. And so depending on, now McConnell has 51 votes, depending on how they decide to schedule things, if they do a hearing, if they don't do a hearing, how they determine to schedule the confirmation votes, Kelly, he could be, like I said, he could be confirmed as early as November 30th, and then that would be a vote against. So that would take McConnell, depending on the timeline of this, from 51 to 50.
November 30th or October 30th?
November 30th.
Okay, so that'd be after the election.
So that's, but you don't have those new senators then. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't come in until, so it gets into a weird area here. You could get this theoretically done in a week. I kind of hope they try to do it. I want them to do it. I'm done. I'm done with this, all this garbage. Democrats are pouring money into that race. Now, even thinking out, you know, past the election as well, I would still like to see McSally keep that seat. But there's a little bit, there's some weird stuff going on here. Because normally, if Trump was leading in that state, which he's not, he's behind a few points behind Joe Biden, you could have his coattails. That would, that, you know, that could be a swell down ticket, and you could pull her across the threshold. So Cook moved the Grand Canyon state to Lean's left. And I think some of it might be some leftover animosity between McCain and Trump, the late McCain and Trump, and then maybe Jeff Flake also. I was looking at this. There was a great piece that came from a survey that Cook Political published, and it gets into how GOP voters are not as committed to Trump as they are in other Sunbelt states. They think it's revenge of Flake and McCain. And only 73% of Arizona Republicans say they are definitely voting for Trump, with 9% saying that they probably that they are probably or definitely voting for Joe Biden. Now, in Colorado, here's another race I'm watching. You have Cory Gardner, who's facing off against John Hickenlooper. And John Hickenlooper is Mr. Gun Control, right? He's the guy who did a bunch of optics stuff as it relates to reducing crime from illegally possessed firearms and all this jazz. And Hickenlooper is absolutely desperate to remain in office. This guy, after he left the gubernatorial office, he had a very embarrassing run in the presidential primary on the Democrat side. So now he didn't succeed at that. So now he wants to go for Senate. And he had a very heavy handed anti-Second Amendment, a bunch of measures, and they were all supposed to be focused at reducing crime, but actually crime only increased in Colorado. And if you get the newsletter, you have all the citations for that. Denver Post reported, and this was back in 2018. This was after, well after his measures went into effect. And the story is that violent crime up 25% in Colorado since 2013, according to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation's latest annual report of statewide crime statistics. They actually saw an increase in crime, and his criminalization of already federally regulated private transfers, all of that did was nothing. In fact, this was KDVR. This is the Fox affiliate, not like Fox News affiliate. It's just like Fox, Century Fox affiliate. Big difference. It said Colorado, their strict background check laws did absolutely nothing. Like, literally says that they aren't working. John Hopkins and University of California Davis teamed up to see if people were complying. They said there's no effect. There's literally no effect. In fact, background checks did not at all increase since Colorado passed stricter laws. So he did nothing. It was nothing. Hickenlooper did nothing. So he's facing off against Cory Gardner. Now, Cory Gardner is the Republican incumbent. Some people kind of look at him as like a moderate. You know, you also have to think, too, that a person who is elected into office is a reflection of the voterate, of the electorate that votes them in. And so as a result of this, you're not going to get a Ted Cruz in every single seat. You're not going to get a Josh Hawley in every single seat. You're not going to get a Mike Lee in every single seat. You might get somebody, if you're a Democrat, like Joe Manchin, who actually was the Democrat to vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. So you're not going to get, you have to realize there are going to be different flavors of Republicans. The most important thing is right now is strategizing to hold a majority and control the calendar. End of story. And so Hickenlooper, the way it is right now, Colorado's demographics have changed a lot because you've had a ton of California voters. So Gardner is in a really tough battle. South Carolina, Lindsey Graham is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is incredibly important because, as I said yesterday, he was the guy who said this is Sparta as he was raging in the Senate battle for Brett Kavanaugh. Now, South Carolina is not really, it's technically not a battleground because Trump is leading the state, but Graham is in a too close for me race with Democrat challenger Jamie Harrison, and Democrats are just dumping all kinds of money in this race. But I do think that this Supreme Court battle, and I haven't seen any surveys come from that state yet with this factored into it for effect, I think that a lot of voters in South Carolina once this is measured. I think this could greatly alter the enthusiasm for this race significantly, because voters are not going to forget, as I said, the way the Democrats treated Kavanaugh, and they'll hold Jamie Harrison responsible for that at the ballot box. North Carolina, Tom Tillis. So far, Trump has had no fewer than four events, I think, in North Carolina to date. The last one was in Fayetteville at the airport, and some of the space between Tillis and Trump is Tillis's own fault, or between Tillis and one of the reasons why it's such a close race. Because remember, Tillis, you know, he's a guy who talks up masks, and even he was maskless at the rally, but he's talked up, you know, masks a lot. And that's kryptonite to a conservative base. Now, there's a caveat to this. The base does not oppose masks, all right? I get it that nuance is dead, but let's not double down on stupid. The base doesn't oppose masks at all. The base opposes government mandates forcing them to wear masks. Huge difference. So that's why people kind of, when Tillis talks about it. So there's that. And then this was a little bit back, but you remember he kind of stumbled because he opposed and then supported Trump's border wall emergency declaration. So, but Trump has been out there. He's called Tillis out from the stage. He's complimented him. He's encouraged people to get behind him because Trump needs Tillis. He needs Tillis in the Senate. If he wants to get his agenda done, and you want to get the kind of candidates for SCOTUS through, you have to have Tillis. And he's just damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. That's where a lot of these Republicans are finding themselves when you're playing to moderates. So that's something important to keep in mind. Joni Ernst in Iowa is pretty embattled. Right when she started getting in trouble, it was her remark on whistleblowers, and this was the Vindman thing. And I think that showed that there was some daylight between her and Trump. And people need to realize it's not a cult of personality thing. It is people selected their gladiator to go out and fight for their agenda. So it's not so much people are seeing a gap between Ernst and Trump, more so between Ernst and themselves. And I think that that's inaccurate and maliciously so when the press refuses to correctly frame it. And so as a result, there was blood in the water. So when you differ from POTUS, Democrats see blood in the water. So she's been like seriously targeted by these West Coast big money outfits that are really wanting to flip the Senate. And Marxist money bags are bankrolling her challenger, Teresa Greenfield. So they're neck and neck, latest polling in Iowa. Now, McConnell has been pushing to get votes. He's got his 51. He has Tillis, Ernst, Graham, McSally, Gardner. All of them are in it. Alexander, who sometimes crosses the aisle, he's in Purdue, Loeffler, Portman, and then now Romney. So this is Graham is readying the cannons and McConnell's getting ready to push it through. I think they can get this done in the week. We're going to talk more about this as we get moving on, because there is a lot to discuss. What makes Patriot Mobile different? Simply put, it's their exceptional customer satisfaction. People are attracted to Patriot Mobile because they listen to your needs and share the same values. Members stay with Patriot Mobile because, as America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is humbled to have achieved the highest customer satisfaction amongst all wireless companies. And as always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations in which you believe. For example, this month, they're donating to Faith Wins, an organization helping to mobilize churches nationwide to get out the vote. Patriot Mobile doesn't just say they support these important causes, they're walking the walk. All plans include unlimited talk and data with commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile. Their plans, your freedom.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So apparently, everyone on social media believes that Twitter's own artificial intelligence might be racist. It actually started trending yesterday. Twitter thinks its own AI is racist. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. No. Let's do this. Let's have this conversation. Totally okay with this. Also, Seattle hires an ex-pimp to be a street czar. Whoa, can we just randomly be street czars? Can we do that? The city of Seattle has hired an ex-pimp at $150,000 a year as the new street czar. Before, Andre Taylor was contracted by the city to provide expertise and support services and de-escalation, because that's the first thing I think of. Whenever I think of de-escalation, I think, oh, pimp, right? Yeah. community engagement, pimp. Alternatives to policing, also pimp. He was engaged in prostitution. This is just genius. KOMO News says, under the terms of this year-long contract, the city's going to pay Taylor and his group, called Not This Time, but probably what, next time? $150,000. Wow. That's like peak 2020 Seattle. Ooh, we're going to save that one. We're just going to sit this one on the side here, because we're going to come back to that little snack. Also, new owner is wanted for one of the most northerly bars in the north, where polar bears look through the windows and darkness endures for more than 100 days in a year. This is the gothest thing ever. So it's like way up. It's in the Nordic regions. The Svalbard is what it's called. 650 miles from the North Pole. I might be interested if you throw in a free reindeer. Svalbard. And it gets a lot of snow. It's sort of like a Shining kind of thing. But they say that they are looking for people to own this bar. They're trying to sell it, and they're trying to sell you on like the wildlife and everything. But there's about 3,000 permanent residents in this town, 70,000 tourists who visit Svalbard, the Arctic island archipelago that's set amongst the roaring seas in Norway. And what about £900,000 is the going price if you like darkness and isolation, polar bears and snowmobiles. I mean, these things sounds like fun. Honestly, stick with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
DanaLash.com. I have to tell you, and I'm going to get to some meat and potatoes, because we're going to get into these two SCOTUS, two potential SCOTUS frontrunners, Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara, can't even say her name, Lagoa. We're going to get into these candidates, but I have to just like for a brief moment, because you guys know I'm a music dork, and Rolling Stone's top 500 albums of all time is murdering my soul. The list is a crime against art and humanity. It is a crime against anything that is audible. It is a crime, period. Number 5004 as to why I shouldn't be president ever, I would immediately sign an executive order to arrest the people who compile this list, because it's like people who don't even know. It's made up of people who don't know these artists, who clearly don't listen to music, have no knowledge of music history. And you can't just judge something on optics. I am sickened. Case in point. First off, The Cure's Disintegration is not even in the top 10. So we can't even talk. Immediately, we are enemies. But here's where it starts to physically bruise the soul. This is, because I was looking who is in the top 100. I just want to have you know. Oh gosh, this is killing me. Liz Phair, Exile and Guyville. And I like Liz Phair. I play Liz Phair on the show. I mean, I like old Liz Phair. It's just right by, literally one after Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. How is Pink Floyd not in the top at least 15?
Right.
I hear you screaming out there, should be in the top 3. I hear like all the Floyd fans. Right. But for real, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, you have Alanis Morissette that beats Miles Davis. Jagged Little Pill, one of the most awful things. The whole reason that album was successful is because it was a bunch of white suburban girls in wide-legged painter's jeans who were rebelling against the early 90s riot girl culture coming out of Seattle. We could sit here and have like this existential discussion on music identification. The fact that that album is beating things like Miles Davis and The Who, and I am dying. I am actually, my soul is withering away to dust. Oh my gosh. And I said something that greatly offended Steve, and it's going to, this is like 50-50. You either agree with me or you don't. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Uh-oh. I think the Beatles are overrated.
How dare you?
And let's not pretend. And look, Paul McCartney seems like a wonderful person, but he did try to recreate Beach Boys sound, right? Pet Sounds was a huge influence on them. So let's just, you know, come on now. How are you the originator when you, I mean, just saying, I'm going to put that out on the table, and Steve is just biting his knuckles, aren't you?
Fuming.
You're fuming. I know. I could tell. Like, you're freaking out. So I, with Steve, really quickly, because I know we got to move on to others. Oh my gosh, I'm still going through this list and I'm dying inside. I'm dying inside. How is this even happening? Who, oh my gosh. Your thoughts on the top five? I hate Rolling Stone and I hate Yon Winner.
I don't know how AC/DC's Back in Black is number 84.
I can't even deal. 84? That is one of the most brilliant albums ever, and it should be in the top 10, along with Cure's Disintegration. And The Cure doesn't even come in until what? 80 something? It didn't even come into the 80 something. Are you kidding me? And then Morrissey, the Smiths beat them. Now look, I love the Smiths, and I like Morrissey, and I'm greatly entertained by the fact that Robert Smith hates Morrissey. But the fact that, I mean, I love the Smiths, but that seems flipped to me. With all due respect, I'm made of a lot of feelings about this, and I am greatly, greatly stressed. Steve, Kane Talk right over you. I wanted to get your... You love this? Do you love this list? You millennial?
It's okay. It's okay. I will say the reason it's in the way it is because I'm reading the descriptions under them. A lot of them highlight the cultural era in which this album resonated, which makes sense as to why some of them are over another one. But it seems like the era is more important than the album context.
Yeah, that's not how music.
That's
should,
not how music. Yeah.
I agree.
Works.
Exactly.
The only thing that I would say I would say that that's applicable in talking about the '90s and the album "Miseducation" of Lauryn Hill, because A, that was a massive album. That was a huge explosion in that era. And B, it is a good album. Yeah. I bought that album. I bought that album twice. I bought that album on CD, and I bought it on iTunes. So, I mean, it's a good album.
It is a good album.
But some of this stuff, are you kidding me? Okay, last thing I'm going to say about it. Like, Outkast's Stankonia is only 64. Oh, I have one last thing to say. Because I mean, for crying out loud, some of these people, like, for Steely Dan is beating John Coltrane. I'm dying. Who does this? Ugh. Oh, this is going to make some of my friends mad. Alanis Morissette is beating N.W.A. straight out of Compton. I just want to put that on the table. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They think Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill, N.W.A. straight out of Compton. No matter what you think about the lyrics and all that stuff, I'm just saying.
That hurts.
Mm.
Like a jagged.
Why? Okay, last thing I'm going to say about this, and we're going to move on, because I am filled with rage and hate about this list. How are you coming out with an album, Jagged Little Pill, for instance, and you're poorly playing harmonica on a track the same time that Blues Traveler, whose lead John Popper is literally a harmonica.
Yes.
He's physically a breathing harmonica with two legs. Like everyone else, they heard John Popper play. He wore like an outdoorsman's vest,
yep,
with harmonicas in it,
yep,
because that's him. He's like, he was born to do two things: breathe and play harmonica. And how are you coming out with that album when at the same time John Popper is playing music and you're just breathing into our harmonica like a five-year-old would? And then you don't even use the term ironically correctly, which provides fodder for the ages. I'm done. I swear to you, I will not put this in the newsletter tonight. This should be, if I did a non-political podcast, I would rage about this for a month. I'm just saying. All right. I need to cleanse the palate because it's taking everything that I have right now. Oh my gosh. And all the people who are saying, I agree with you on the Beatles. This is how you become my best friend. Just like that. I feel like we just like soulmates. I just felt it through the broadcast airwaves. Deep breath. I can't Stan, like, this is why aliens don't. Honestly, if I were an alien and I saw this list, I would be like, let's just blow this planet up. I mean, we've just lost everything. I mean, yeah, the riots were bad, but this is also awful. That would be the
last. Al Green and Bo Diddley, like, over 450. Like,
wait, I'm sorry. Stop. Where's Al Green?
456. That's where he is on this list.
Okay.
With his greatest hits out.
Okay. I swear, last thing, and then we're going to go. The first concert I ever attended was Al Green's concert. Shut up with your stereotypes. Everyone can shove them down their throats. Shut up with your stupid stereotypes. I wanted to go to Guns N' Roses, but my mom said no, and that actually turned out to be in my favor because that's the night that they rioted at Riverport, and, you know, little bitty Dana would have been there. Little seventh grade Dana would have been there getting her face stomped in. But I also love Al Green, and my stepdad, every Sunday, he would put, because he had a record player, and he would play all kinds of records. He loved Motown, and Al Green is one of the things that he always played, and I just ended up loving me some Al Green. I know all the Al Green songs. I can sing you all Al Green, and not just the hits. So I went and saw him at the Fox, and I was like the youngest person there, and I was terrified that they weren't going to let me in because I was clearly underage. And he's in the 400-something? The Reverend?
His greatest hits album.
Oh my gosh, be still my heart.
I know, this is what's happening.
Oh my God, I told you we were not going to get this show back. I told you that this was going to be gone if I touched on this topic. Okay, so I'm going to just, you know, we're going to step aside. All right, so let's talk about some, you know, let's kind of switch gears here and get back to some of the meat and potatoes. Although culture is always, this politics are downstream from it, just FYI.
What does Jeff Klingerman think of this list?
Oh, Jeff Klingerman's going to totally rage at us. A friend of mine, and David French is a friend of mine. I don't agree with him on everything. He does have good cinematic taste because he likes Lord of the Rings, and he also liked Game of Thrones, and we like the story and the character arcs of said franchises. He has this piece out in Time saying the battle over Ginsburg's seat is set to be all about raw power, but there's still a way to show that principles matter. And essentially, he's getting into how maybe, you know, we should, you know, work with Democrats and try to find, he's trying to, I get what he's doing. He wants to be a peacemaker. I understand this. And I was reading the piece. I don't think that you can make a deal with people who tried to undermine an election, even changed CIA emails, which triggered a criminal investigation, a legitimately criminal investigation. You can't work with people who lied to the voters to this extent and who carried out such a malicious hit job during the Kavanaugh hearings. And he asked, he goes, well, we know President Trump is going to put forward a nominee. He's promised to do it quickly. And now a critical mass of the Senate faces a choice, one that's likely to echo in American history. At the end of the day, do principles matter, or is power the only coin of the realm? I think following the constitutional process completely on the timetable that it seems like the Senate and the White House want to is completely acceptable. I don't think it is in any way a compromise. And I am not going to hear or entertain any idea of compromising with anyone who thought that their behavior during the Kavanaugh hearing was in any way acceptable or defensible or even remotely explainable. Nor am I going to take any sort of moral preening or lectures from individuals who try to steal, rob the American voters of a free and fair election by abusing the FISA process, undermining our trust in our American institutions, and even so much as editing CIA emails, a criminal charge, ladies and gentlemen, so as to justify spying on a private citizen because they didn't like the orange man who was going to win the White House. So no, that is justifiably not going to be entertained. The end. Elections have consequences. That's something that we heard so often during the administration of the previous president. And one of the consequences of this election is that we're going to nominate someone and we're going to get them on the court. And Reza Aslan can sit here and threaten to burn as many things down as he would like to. This is a man who cried during a Gillette commercial. So forgive me if I don't take you seriously. All right, so we got a lot more to come, including coming up later on in the program, Judge Jeanine Pirro will join us. She has a new book out, and I'm sure we will not have any shortage of topics to discuss.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right, and we're excited to tell you about our podcast, the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
If you've been stressed lately with the information overload on social media or just don't feel like anything in the news makes sense anymore, don't worry, because we're here to clear things up.
Every week, we discuss topics like cancel culture, national crisis, what's happening to our new generations, and if you're just plain tired of people trying to tell you what to do or how to live your life, we tackle that too.
Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to leave a comment or review and subscribe.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
God, to people that are pro-life, I hate you. Why can't women have abortions?
Oh my God.
I just saw a pro-life sign driving down the road having a mental breakdown. And I should say, all you people are so, you're so stupid!
Oh my gosh.
Ugh! This life that I want, I could feel pain before I was born as a baby! Bitch, I was born!
Oh my gosh!
I could feel pain. I wish I wasn't born! Stop bringing these kids into horrible homes just because you're pro-birth! You're stupid! And I wish I had been aborted!
That's actually sad. As much as I want to make fun of her and be like, okay, I'll abort you. It's just sad. Like, how do you hate yourself that much? Just,
yeah. How do you end up with that much emotional currency?
Just because you saw a sign.
It's weird.
You saw a sign and you freaked out and lost your ever-loving mind from a sign. Good heavens. But they're going to burn it down, guys.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
They're going to burn it down, though. Let me tell you, if you get in Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you're going to physically fight. Oh, my gosh, it's a sign. Yeah, we believe that. Sure. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and kick it into the Florida man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida man.
I don't believe she was in Florida, though, although that would have been actually pretty, like, apropos or pretty funny. All right. I don't do this. Okay. This is why we got Uber and we've got, what's the other one that's not Uber? Lyft. So a Florida man in Winter Haven needed a ride home, Jermaine Williams. So he called 911. And this happened last Friday. He called 911 and said that there's a dead body at the McDonald's on Fifth Street. And so officers obviously responded and they just found William sitting there on the curb. And he was like, yeah. I called a number of times to ask for a ride. He called 911 and reported a dead body because he wanted a ride. He needed a ride. For real. So he obviously was charged with misuse of 911 and he was held up at Polk County Jail.
Got that right.
Yeah, no, you can't. It's not even, you can't do that. Let's see here. Florida cow. A video shows Florida deputies rescuing a cow stuck in the mud. It's a steer who got himself into a hole in Volusia County. And the body cam footage, they came to rescue the steer and it took a half a dozen dudes. And it was funny because the cow was fussing and it was like not wanting to get rescued or it was mad about it. Yeah. And one of the deputies was frustrated. So he says on camera, we're trying to help you, butthead. So they ended up finally, it took, they even actually had to get wetsuits on. They ended up getting the steer out and he was exhausted, obviously. But oh my gosh, it was just funny because they got, that's, it was just fussing. It just, everybody's resisting the police. Right. Look at that. Even steered now. Steers are. Let's see here. I got a couple of others. A Florida woman was arrested after peeing, spitting, and picking her nose in rival's ice cream. My mother said that this always happened, and this is why I was not allowed to ever get ice cream from the ice cream man, but I ended up doing it anyway when I became an adult. A woman was arrested, charged with two felonies, because she spit, peed, and picked her nose into $2,000 worth of ice cream at a neighboring shop. It was a competitor, Shores Food Mart, and Lulu's Ice Cream. We got Judge Jeanine Pirro coming up as well. Stick with us.
Bill O'Reilly here. The presidential election just weeks away, as you know. More than ever, folks need real analysis and honest facts, not speculation and partisan reporting. The traditional news and cable networks feed you biased coverage and skewed analysis 24 hours a day. The pundits parade around trying to score cheap shots, and the big media companies silence anyone who disagrees with them. Do you want Facebook or Twitter deciding what you see and hear? All that stops now with me, Bill O'Reilly, and my free podcast. Don't waste another minute of your time on the dishonest networks peddling fake news. Now you can listen to the O'Reilly Update and excerpts from my nightly no-spin news free. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Like you, I'm tired of the dishonest media. It's corrupt. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now.
Now, bear in mind, none of them assert this majority would be breaking any Senate rule by holding this vote. It's just that our Democrat friends worry they might not like the outcome. For some reason, they cannot bear to see Republicans governing within the rules as Republicans, doing exactly what Americans elected us to do.
No, that's a good point. That was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking about this yesterday. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and of course, you can find me.
Oh,
Kane doesn't have it ready. Kane doesn't have it ready.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube, Official Dana Lash on Facebook, and simulcast via the First, Channel 244 on Pluto TV.
You know what I was looking at? I was looking at, mm-hmm. I thought that was this morning that Mitch McConnell said that, not yesterday, but
it was yesterday.
Well, I was being distracted, and that's why I didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah. What were you looking at?
I allowed myself to be distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at
I mean, honestly, does it get any better than Price is Right? I don't believe it does.
It's the best.
No, and the hoping. the little tiny microphone, the little microphone is amazing. I love it. All right. So these two things that I want to talk about really quickly. First thing is the two of the candidates for possible Supreme Court nominations. Amy Coney Barrett, Newsweek's already trying to smear her. I don't know if y'all saw this. Newsweek already went after her. They said how Amy Coney Barrett's People of Praise group inspired The Handmaid's Tale. Really?
Oh my gosh.
Really? They keep going, she's a devout Catholic. And they say that this organization, etc., they ended up because they wrote this piece and it was not even remotely correct. They were trying to say that she's connected with this particular group and that this group inspired Margaret Atwood's book, which was horrible. And as it turned out, that wasn't her group. They actually had to change the entire thing.
Surprising.
And they said and Margaret Atwood apparently never cited it, and they were trying to say that the group was like this crazy cult, and they had to kind of walk that back, and then they had to walk back the fact that Margaret Atwood never actually mentioned that group as the basis for her story.
Media.
Have you ever heard of charismatic Catholic? I have never heard of that phrase ever. That's why I'm like, do you even religion? Like, what is that? I mean, perhaps I'm wrong. I was raised Baptist and I'm Church of Christ now, but charismatic Catholic?
Like a superhero.
I've never heard of that phrase. Huh?
It's like a superhero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never, that's like just an odd phrasing.
Are Catholics not charismatic at all?
No, we just stand up and kneel and sit back down again. That's all we do.
That's a stereotype. That to me is a stereotype.
What is a stereotype?
It's just believing that that's what Catholics are and that's all they are.
Well, no. I mean, there's. I don't want to get into the theology of it, but and the doctrine of it and all this stuff, because then we're going to go. I don't want to. And it's going to end up being more time than the Rolling Stone 500 albums that they didn't even get right.
It's more boring than other religion?
No, it seems. See, he says boring. I view it as disciplined. I don't know.
Okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
I would say Catholic masses are more, a little less on the excited side, but they are devout.
Yeah. So I just, it's weird to me that they use that phrasing. But they've been, basically the only thing they can come up against her is she's Catholic. Now, I would say, if I had a criticism, is that it's that she hasn't been on the court. She hasn't been out in the court long enough. She's on Seventh Circuit. She hasn't been there for as long as some other ones, as some of these other candidates, I guess. That's the right word to say. Considerations. And they got mad at her also because she wrote a decision. Listen to this. This is how Washington Post stated this about Amy Coney Barrett. Potential Trump SCOTUS nom Amy Coney Barrett wrote influential decision making it easier for students accused of sexual assault to challenge university's handlings of their cases. So she supports due process. Oh, no, not the due process. Kill her. Really? So she supports due process. Heaven forbid. We can't have due process on college campuses. Due process isn't for everyone.
But it is, though.
Yeah, except, yeah, it is. And she's been described as a champion of originalism, meaning she's like a constructionist. She's like, she doesn't go off interpretation. She goes off the Constitution. And these are all apparently supposed to be cons, right? But I don't understand why people are all, why some are freaking out over it. I know that there's a little bit of back and forth on the right as well. And I think honestly, it has to do over like religion and different faiths, because some people have questioned that. They're trying to say somehow that her faith is going to be an obstacle. Well, as one rabbi that I quoted last hour, he was saying, well, why wasn't that used? If Ruth Bader Ginsburg's Jewish faith was an asset to her, then why couldn't Amy Coney Barrett's Catholic faith be an asset to her? I mean, it doesn't. And I agree, that was a good point. Now, as it relates to Barbara Lagoa, I have a question about this. She has a decent amount of judicial experience, and I'm going to talk more about this in the newsletter. I came across, this was from October of last year when she was nominated to the 11th Circuit, and Feinstein sent her some questions, and I was going over them, and I mean, it gets into, you know, it's kind of run of the mill what you would expect someone who might be nominated by a Republican to say. She was one who, when Governor Ron DeSantis, when he removed Scott Israel, it was, as I understand it, this, I think it was this particular judge that, because they were fighting over it, there was a lot of discussion as to how far that fight was going to go. And apparently this, it was remanded to the Senate. So I was looking at, I'm scrolling. I was looking at, because it refreshed, number 9 on this, question 9. And again, I'll put this in the newsletter. She was asked, in Justice Stevens's dissent in District of Columbia v. Heller, he wrote, the Second Amendment was adopted to protect the right of the people of each of the several states to maintain a well-regulated militia. It was a response to, which is totally not even right. It was a response to concerns raised during the ratification of the Constitution that the power of the Congress to disarm the state militias, create a national standing army, posed an intolerable threat to the sovereignty of the several states. Neither the text of the amendment nor the arguments advanced by its proponents evidenced the slightest interest in limiting any legislature's authority to regulate private civilian uses of firearms. She was asked, do you agree with Justice Stevens? Why or why not? And this is Barbara Lagoa. She's one of the considerations. She's on the, and Trump is apparently meeting with her Friday. He already met with Amy Coney Stevens. He's meeting with Lagoa coming up this Friday. She wrote, quote, as a sitting justice on the Supreme Court of Florida and a judicial nominee, it would be inappropriate for me to comment on whether I agree or disagree with Justice Stevens's dissent. And then she cites Florida Code of Judicial Conduct, etc. She says, as with all Supreme Court precedent, lower court judges are bound to fully and faithfully follow the Supreme Court's decision in Heller. She was asked, did Heller leave room for common sense gun regulation? And she answers, in Heller, the Supreme Court stated that the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. The court further explained that nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast doubt on longstanding prohibitions, blah, 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 blah. As a sitting justice on the Supreme Court of Florida and a judicial nominee, it would not be appropriate for me to opine on how Heller may apply in a future case. So I get, and I was also looking at, because wasn't there a... And again, this is why you need to sign up for the newsletter, because I'm going to be exploring all of this. I know that there was an open carry case that went up to the Florida Supreme Court. And I was looking as to whether or not was she on the court at the time that this went up, and this was back in like 2017. And how did she, and I, you know, how did she fall down on that? Because that's immediately was my first thought was, ooh, Florida Supreme Court, they had a whole thing with open carry. Let's go and see about this. And I think that I want to make sure that we're very, that we are vetting these nominees, these potential nominees. I want to be very sure that we are looking at each and every one of them very carefully, and we are provide, and we are, and I think that even if we push this through in a week, I think that that's going to be, I think that that'll, we can do that. The reason I say this is because there's going to be some pretty important cases that are going to be coming up, particularly as it relates to Second Amendment issues, et cetera. And I want to make sure that we're getting people who are strict constitutionalists on this, and that are not going to be, you know, throwing these weird interpretations. Progressive judges seem to think that time makes rights anachronistic, and which is silly because they never apply that. They don't apply that standard of measure to anything else that's protected in the in our Constitution. They don't. They don't provide this same metric to, for instance, freedom of speech. And to say that the founders didn't grasp the technological advances at the time of firearms. I mean, you had the belt and gun, you had the puckle gun, you had a ton of different examples that contrast, that not contrast, but completely contradict the argument that founders were, all we had were smoothbore muskets. I mean, for crying out loud, rifling was coming into, we were using rifling about that time, which also made us a little bit more accurate than the British, by the way. So, there's a long story short, I want to make sure that we don't get a justice who thinks that these arguments that, well, you know, modern time makes this, you know, a little bit unrealistic. Well, then that can be applicable. That can be applied to the First Amendment as well. It can be applied to a number of different natural rights that we have. And it's an attempt to make a civil right from a out of a natural one. And that is a huge danger. So I'm going to be looking at this more in the newsletter, and I'm going to be looking at also at Barbara Lagoa a little bit closer. Amy Coney Barrett has been, everything, she's out there a lot because her name came up with both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. So, I mean, she was out there quite a bit. Also, Black Lives Matter, did you guys see their website? They quietly altered their website to remove portions wherein they targeted the family. Now, there was, and I read it, and I have screenshots myself. They actually had as on their website where they wanted to target or tear down the Western family unit, the Western family structure. And they've quietly scrubbed their webpage of it. But the internet never forgets. And as a result, there are screenshots out there that they wanted to disrupt the nuclear family is what they wanted to do. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We have Janine Pirro, who's going to be joining us as well after headlines. You don't want to
grab the digital archives and enjoy the Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Former KISS guitarist Ace Frehley says he's a Trump supporter. Whoa. For real. He's like never really talked about politics. Like really, he goes, I don't think politics and rock and roll mix, in my opinion. He says, I try to stay away from that as much as I can. He goes, I mean, once in a while, I'll make a crack. He goes, I will say I'm a Trump supporter. All politicians have had skeletons in the closet. He says, I think Trump is the strongest leader that we've got on the table. Where's the lie? Where's the lie? That's, I mean, look at that, right? That's, yeah. This is a really cool story. So do you remember how sad it looked when we were watching, like right when Italy locked down and there were all these people standing on their balconies and they were, you know, like singing and all this stuff. And it just seemed kind of sad, right? Okay, so there's a pair that have been called, a man and a woman, on one of these balconies called Romeo and Juliet. They met on their balconies in Verona during the lockdown. And they started this, like, not really long-distance relationship, but a cross-balcony relationship, and now they're getting married. That's actually pretty cool. That's an Italian couple. Isn't that nice? Trump's rice and attacker, the individual who sent an envelope full of ricin. The individual is here illegally. It's a woman, and she was arrested at the Canadian border. The FBI is overseeing the case, working with other law enforcement agencies. They're being really tight-lipped for details, according to the Hot Air had said that they're being very tight-lipped and not giving any information out about it. However, ABC says, even though she hasn't been identified by name, she's a Canadian citizen, not an American, and this is not the first time she's gotten in trouble with the law. She was actually detained in Texas in 2019 because she overstayed her visa. So she's a Canadian who was here illegally, an illegal alien. So there you go. First, it was hair salons, and now it's the church. Pelosi said she attended Mass in San Francisco despite the city health order. Interesting. After San Francisco's Archbishop called on the city to reopen churches for indoor mass, Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that he should listen to the science, but admitted that she had recently attended a church service, possibly in violation of public health orders. Just like with the salon, right? Is she going to try to run the church out of San Francisco like you did that salon owner? Oh, please. Pelosi versus the Lord. Let's see how this works. Good heavens. I'm just telling you. And this is... I don't know what I think of this. I don't like getting involved in stuff like this, but at the same time, Jill Biden's first husband, Daily Mail has it, he's calling Joe Biden a hypocrite for criticizing people's character because he's like, you had an affair with my wife when we worked on your campaign together in the 70s. That might have a point. Judge Jeanine Pirro joins us next.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Joe Biden should not be asking for your support. He should be begging for your forgiveness, and he should be. Biden supported the disastrous Trans-Pacific Partnership. This building wouldn't be here if you ever did that one, which would have been a death sentence for the U.S. auto industry and other industries.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. That's a great line, by the way. That is such a great line. Yeah, instead of asking for your support, he should be begging for your forgiveness. That was POTUS at the, was that last night? It wasn't last night. Night before last.
I think it was last night.
He's like at a rally, which is smart. Super smart. Really quickly, because I've got this news. So we know now the topics of the debate, and Axios tweeted just in, the Commission for Presidential Debates has released the topic for the first debate the day after my birthday, September 29th. So the topics, the topics are thus: the Trump and Biden records, nobody cares, Supreme Court, coronavirus, the economy, race and violence in our cities, and the integrity of the election. Now, I don't see China anywhere on here. I assume that that's going to be in the COVID section, right? That should, if it doesn't dominate, then it's just, this is all garbage. So that just came out, the topics for the first debate. My concern is that we should probably really slam the economy in China because Biden's not going to want to agree to another debate with Trump after the first one. Because I don't think it's going to go so well for him, you know? Joining us to discuss this and so much, she's got a new book out, Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom, my good friend, Judge Jeanine Pirro. And I cannot not call her Judge, even though she's told me to not do that. So it's going to come out just like even. I was raised Southern Missouri, so it's just going to come out. It's so good to have you and good to talk to you today.
I'm delighted to talk to you because, as you know, I'm a big fan of yours as well. So it's great. It's great being able to talk to you now. But I got to tell you, it'll be interesting to see those debates. I mean, it's interesting that China isn't a part of them. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? What I'm more interested in is what's happening on Saturday when the president nominates his candidate for the Supreme Court. And, of course, Saturday night I have my show, so it's going to be a packed show, I'm sure.
Your show Saturday night is a must watch because you're going to be going over who those candidates are. Do you have like do you have someone that you kind of prefer from the front runners that we've sort of the names of the front runners that we've kind of been given from that big list? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, well, actually, I do, and you know, I think I'd be thrilled with any of those front runners. I mean, with Alison Rushing, I mean, you're guaranteed 40 years on the Supreme Court. And Barbara, I think it's Loggio. I mean, she has an incredible background and story. My favorite is ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, because of how she went back at Senator Feinstein in the nomination for Second Circuit Court of Appeals. And Feinstein said, you're basically your religious dogma lives loudly within you. And she went right back at her, Dana. And she said, all of our dogmas live within us, you know, religious and otherwise. But my job is to keep it separate from my court decisions. And judges do that every day. And I was a judge. And in fact, one of the things that I didn't like about being a judge was, you know, when I had to suppress kilos of cocaine, you know, because of, you know, a mistake on the part of, you know, a police officer. And so, you know, I had a long term on the bench, but I left early to run for DA because I recognized I was more of an activist. And I followed the law and I followed precedent and I understood my role, but that wasn't my temperament. So I think as long as we have a strict constructionist and, you know, a someone who recognizes that it's not the place to be to legislate new laws and not the place to be an activist, then I'm all for her, whomever she may be.
I love your transparency on that because you would never hear someone on the left say, you know, I realized that I had a strength in this area as well, or I was more of an activist and it was very difficult because I can't even imagine having to omit certain things because of technicalities.
Yeah.
And I realize that can weigh heavily on the mind. This process, we're kind of getting a little bit of a timeline from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell as well as Chair of Judiciary Lindsey Graham. They're saying, I mean, it looks like this is all going to kick off in October. And of course, we're talking with Judge Jeanine Pirro. We're hearing from Democrats. Oh, this is uncharacteristically fast. This is unprecedented. But it's not. I mean, it should kind of be speedy like this when they make a decision.
Well, you know, that's why I wrote the book, Don't Lie to Me. I'm sick of them lying to us. And you know, the lies just keep coming from the Russia collusion delusion to Ukraine to, you know, you shouldn't do this in an election year. Look, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I have tremendous respect for her. I mean, you know, I've said before, she was of great consequence in life, but she will be of even greater consequence in death as we watch these hearings unfold. The bottom line is, even she says, the president never ceases to be president during the 4 years of his presidency. She said that, you know, the court is good at nine. You know, we don't need to pack it. Look, all the left is trying to do is they're trying to get someone to approve even more leftist activist legislative positions, making third-term abortions, you know, regular, legal, and, you know, legislating from the bench. We don't need a fourth branch of government on the judiciary. That's not what was intended. And look, the average time, I believe, is like 50 or 60 days. The president has an obligation, Article 2, Section 2. Senate advises and consents, and they either agree or they don't. We can lose four. We're losing Collins and Murkowski. Mitt Romney may be in, and I think Cory Gardner's in. And let's just do it. Get it done. We need a full complement. This is an election year. It's going to be a nightmare. The votes are going to be counted after the election. I mean, this is sick. The whole thing is sick. It's all about Nancy Pelosi threatening us from the left. And they're doing it with the protests, saying they're peaceful when they're burning down buildings and they're attacking people. And if you lived in New York City, you'd know what it's like. It's a nightmare. And I'm tired of it. And Americans need to be. So.
Yeah, exactly. I well said. Judge Jeanine Pirro, new book, Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom, is out now. And Judge, you followed very closely, obviously, the Russian witch hunt, the attempts from Democrats, Marxists, to undermine the free and fair election that was 2016. And so when you see these same party members lecturing someone like Senator Lindsey Graham. They're telling him, well, you told us that you wouldn't, you would not work to confirm a Republican pick for SCOTUS if it happens during an election year. And this was even before what they did with Kavanaugh, and really before we knew everything that they did as it relates to Mueller and that witch hunt. I liked Graham's answer. I don't think that we owe them anything, and they have no moral high ground. Your thoughts on their posturing here?
Well, you know what? You are so right. And I'll give you one better. I don't care what they say. We've got the Senate. We've got the White House. Just do it. You know what? To me, they're nothing more than background noise. They're nothing more than anarchists, people who are gluttons. I mean, they want all of the power. They'll take it any way they can get it. And, you know, Nancy has more arrows in her quiver. AOC, you know, you're fighting with fire. What are you, threatening us? Enough of this nonsense. This is the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. Take your threats and do whatever you want with them, but don't threaten us. Don't try to lock us in our homes, open the borders, defund the police, and take away our guns on top of it. No, I'm not having any of it. And as far as I'm concerned, you're all background noise. I don't need to explain anything. And the president is not bound by anything any senator said 4 years ago. End of it.
Ooh, perfect. It. I love that. I'm excited to read this book, Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom, the new book from Judge Jeanine Pirro. And you need to watch her show on Saturday, particularly because it's going to be right after the president announces who his selection for SCOTUS is going to be. And I mean, I was going back and forth because I kept saying, does it have to be a woman? But at the same time, I sort of like that at a time when Democrats are trying to appeal to suburban women and Joe Biden's trying to ingratiate himself with Catholics again. And so the idea of having an Amy Coney Barrett up there, I mean, it's like watching a baby play with a shape sorter, try to figure out how they're going to go. They can't accuse her of rape like they did Kavanaugh. So I kind of like that hurdle for them. And she has qualifications.
Well, and they all do. And you know what I like? I like the religious piece. You know, they've been tearing down religion, and they've been saying, you know, you can go to get marijuana, you can gamble, you can go to a casino, you can go to a liquor store during the pandemic. Don't you dare go to church. Don't you dare go to synagogue. No. Okay, I've had enough of that. You know, the First Amendment, you know, they don't have the right to say that we can practice one kind of religion or not another. They are not to be involved in that. When the Supreme Court came down with that decision in Nevada saying the casinos can open and the movie theaters can open, but all you churches, no more than 50 at a time, it's time to talk about religion and to dig in deep. Because this is a nation founded on the Judeo-Christian ethics. And it's time for us to recognize that religion does play a part. Our president did say you'll say Merry Christmas again. I feel strongly about that. I'm not a religious fanatic. I'm not. But don't tell me that religion is going to suffer because you don't like Christianity. I'm not going to deal with that anymore. And I don't think we should. So let's have it. Let's have at it.
Amen to that. Judge Jeanine Pirro, watch her show Saturday and get her new book, Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom. It is available now. And always so good to talk with you, my friend. When I'm not quarantined from flying to Texas, to New York, I'd love to see you again. Always good to have you on, and we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. Let me know. I'm waiting. Thank you.
I will. So you know, much, I Dana. Will. Of course.
All right.
You too.
Look forward to it.
All right. Talk to you again soon, Judge. Judge Jeanine Pirro, her new book, and you can follow her on Twitter at Judge Jeanine. Saturday is like, it's sort of like again, me not knowing football. Kane, what's like the not, it's not Super Bowl, a playoff. It's like a playoff game.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Baseball. from a baseball town. Whack bat. It is.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
American people deserve a fully staffed court of nine.
The president nominates, and then the Senate advises and consents or not, but they go forward with the process.
What we're seeing here, and I hope this is temporary, is a disrespect for the Constitution.
The Constitution is 100% clear. The president of the United States has the right to nominate
someone to be a justice of the Supreme Court. Senate's function is to hold hearings and to vote.
The blockade on filling a naturally occurring vacancy, in my view, is harmful to the independence of the Article III branch.
These are 2016 Democrats.
In the Supreme Court, which represents all of us, you cannot keep it vacant against the Constitution.
Do pretty much everything they can to avoid acknowledging the legitimacy of our democratically elected president.
The American people expect the president's nominee.
So what happened to this sentiment?
A fair hearing.
Oh, Trump. Trump happened. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. Look at that. Oh, DanaLash.com. Sign up for the newsletter because you do not want to miss it at all. And, oh, man, the critical race theory that they're pushing in schools, it is so pervasive. And I heard a lot of people after talking about that No Left Turn group that is organizing and getting chapters together in every single town and city across the country. So there are a lot of people that were saying that 1619 project that was being packaged as curriculum in their schools. How is that even still a thing when the creator of that Nicole Hannah Jones, she actually had to backtrack on her entire premise and then delete a bunch of stuff and scrub her Twitter timeline, and the New York Times went back and they were erasing stuff. And it ended up being like this. Normally, when you are a media entity and you're changing something, you owe it to your audience. And ethically, you need to divulge this. And that wasn't done. And so she ended up scrubbing her timeline, and the New York Times is trying to change stuff. You need to figure out if they're actually, because there's a lot of stuff that has been just completely deleted. And they won't. Because it wasn't based on any kind of historical accuracy or academia or anything. So I like I said, I remember that they were trying to push this in schools. You need to make sure that your school's not using this stuff. All right, today in stupidity. We're out of time.
Okay, Charles Schumer was out there talking about the SCOTUS pick. And, well, as you'd imagine, it's really inaccurate and biased and all that. Let's just hear what it is.
By every modicum of decency and honor, Leader McConnell and the Republican Senate majority have no right to fill it.
No, they do.
No right.
No, they do. It's the Constitution.
In the final
literally the Constitution.
Sensing her failing health.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Ginsburg told her family that it was her, quote, most fervent wish that she not be replaced.
We're not running the Make-A-Wish Foundation through the government. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So there you go. And happy International Hobbit Day, everyone. It's the day that we celebrate the halflings. Yes, Tolkien's book. So, you know, everything can go back to Lord of the Rings. So it's International Hobbit Day. This doesn't affect me in any way other than maybe I have a better argument to rewatch something from Lord of the Rings tonight if I have some free time after work for the millionth time to rewatch it. So there you go. Folks, DanaLash.com, sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you check out the website as well. And we're going to be doing some stuff as well with the newsletter a little bit differently as well coming up. So I'm going to get into all of that. Don't miss it. Have a great night. We will be back with you tomorrow. We got a lot of other guests coming up this week as well. Adam Carolla will be joining us too.